from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Good morning, Metroplex. We've already made it to a hump day edition of Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Good morning and shout out to the 6 a.m. Club. I'm Sean Sharif alongside Ralph James Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Pepe in the back, and we are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And yesterday at Fenway, no, I'm kidding.
Don't break a promise that quick.
Not doing it. We're going to start with the breaking news from Bobby in Crosstalk. And I have I need to create a house of cards chart back here on the wall to keep track. Because that, to me, you know, the Dallas Morning News comes out with their big cover piece of what the theme for the Cowboys season is going to be in their mind. For me, it's a house of cards. I've been saying that. An ad, technically, you're starting left tackle to the list. As Bobby, you broke the news of Chuma Udoga out with the broken toe.
Yep, and he is going to be out. The likelihood is he's going to start the season on injured reserve, so that knocks him out for at least the first 4 weeks of the year. But this is probably about a six-week recovery, but it could go up to as much as eight. Now, the Cowboys were not officially saying yesterday, fracture, break, whatever. Mike McCarthy was sticking to the description you saw put out there in the media yesterday, which is significant toe injury. And Clarence Hill even asked him, he said, so is it a fracture? And Mike said, it's a significant toe injury. It's like, okay, well, I don't know why they would just say it's broken, but it is broken, and it means it's Tyler Guyton time.
Now, how much of a change of course is this really for them? I know that we have been advocating for Tyler Guyton just to go ahead and start out there at left tackle. Dak may feel differently with Myles Garrett, and the Cowboys offensive line coach may feel differently. So does this count as an absolute change of plan for game one because Guyton is not supposed to be starting?
I think that this is, look, you don't root for injury, but this is like the house of cards being rebuilt. You know, like I would rather have Guyton start. I think he's, you know, obviously with the upside. If anybody's going to stop Myles Garrett week one, I think it's Guyton.
Like, this is good for us, exciting for us, bad for coaches. Is that a way to put it?
Yeah, or the coaches would at least feel like it's not as stable a position for them. That, like, they feel like, I think they're over with the coach and staff. They feel like Tyler Guyton is a more talented player. Obviously he is. He's a first-round pick. He's a high upside kind of guy. They feel like he's more talented. They don't feel like because just the fact that he's a rookie, that he's totally ready to know all of his assignments. So if you're busting on five or six plays a game, That's tough for them to live with because they feel like you're really blowing stuff up. I can live with Edoga's just not as good as Myles Garrett. I can't live with Tyler Guyton should be able to make a play, and it's because he just didn't know where he was supposed to be. So that's kind of where they're going to be on it. That's just a coach's thinking, safety, especially when you're on one-year deals.
Here's Mike McCarthy on what Udoga's injury means for the rookie.
Tyler's doing a good job. Obviously, the illness was a setback, so he'll continue to get more work, and he'll be in there with the ones, and we just want to keep moving forward with him. I thought he had good snaps in the game, but obviously, young player just needs as many reps as possible. Thought he played well. He's definitely very comfortable. You can see, his natural skill as far as hands and his feet. His athletic ability, stands out. Just needs reps, and then fundamentals, the techniques, and obviously, really the time that he missed is probably really the only setback. So I think clearly with the available opportunities in front of him, this will be something I know he'll take full advantage of.
And you hear him there. Like, you hear it in McCarthy's voice. He's excited about the upside. He's excited about the set, but he's like, he comes back on. Obviously, the fundamentals and the technique and,
stamina.
Yeah, that kind of stuff that's going to be the stuff that they're going to have concerns with. And that's why they've a lot of times defaulted to Brock Hoffman at center or other things. This is playing out remarkably similar to the way Tyler Smith did, which we talked about. Why isn't Tyler Smith starting? Same sort of thing. We get to camp and we go, why isn't Tyler Guyton starting? Well, it was an injury that got Tyler Smith into the lineup when they didn't necessarily want to put him in there, and now it's an injury that puts Tyler Guyton into the lineup before they necessarily wanted to.
So on my morning show House of Cards / depth chart, I have Sam Williams gone for the year. Okay. I have your starting left tackle missing. And, of course, you are also missing your superstar wide receiver to begin. So that's where we stand right now before game one.
Yeah, the good news is the wide receiver will be back eventually. Sam Williams can't necessarily replace that. I mean, they have other guys, but, he was a good piece. This one, I'm not necessarily that terrified of this. I'd rather see this anyway.
Terrified, but I know it goes against their preferred plan to start off. Because in the third quarter, if Tyler Guyton is gassed and dying out there, or he misses an assignment and goes right when he's supposed to go left or left and right, then the Cowboys are going to say, that's what we've been trying to tell you. Dak Prescott got buried and put his shoulder got put in the dirt. Because he went the wrong way.
Which I talked about this when a lot of what we were hearing was that Edoga was going to be the preference early on because, he's going to know where he needs to be. The thing I kept coming back to is, we killed him. Killed Edoga after the Dolphins game last year in December when there were two plays inside the 10 where he did not know where he was going. And Bradley Chubb was able to run free and blow up a play. So I understand their concerns, and there are times where you're not even noticing necessarily what happened. There was a section that first padded practice, three plays in a row, Tyler Guyton was the guy you don't want on the offensive line, which is the clapper, which is the play's over, you hear the whistle, and then you hear, and it's him clapping it. Damn, I was in the wrong spot. And so you're going to see
Jason Garrett was
bad. Nope, different kind of clapper. So you're going to see those sort of things happen early on, but very high upside, and the move from right to left so far this year, I don't think we've talked enough about that. He's looked clean doing it. It hasn't looked difficult.
Mike McCarthy also giving props to Zach Wolchuk's crush, saying Cooper Beebe will start getting more reps with the first unit at center, and Awesome Richards will continue to get more work at left tackle. Said that Beebe has earned it with some rotation up front.
Yeah, he's somebody who, look, the snaps have been a challenge at times, and when we're out there for those practices,
I should have done that out in Oxnard with the fan competition. Like, I'm gonna pull a Bobby here, man. I would never get a shotgun snap wrong. Like, I know I would have the perfect ability to shotgun to choppy a quarterback every single time.
Yeah, and you'd have a great teacher there in Brian Broaddus. Yeah, that's what he's done. And so he
not based off that shotgun.
Not based off that Giafalo video I saw.
He was backup too. So that matters. But BB's somebody who,
I'm not saying I could long snap. Shotgun snap.
Shotgun.
Money.
All accounts are, while we were out in Oxnard, we saw him at center. All accounts are when he's played guard in some of these practices since we left, that's where he's looked really good and comfortable. And so the blocking's there and the ability to get to the second level's there. It's just some of the stuff with the snaps, but that's getting cleaner, and it'll be a process.
McCarthy was also asked to evaluate the Cowboy debut of Trey Lance.
Good football, I think, number one. You know, just the fact to, you know, get out there and play. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I think it gets lost in the preparation of all this. I mean, it's exciting to go play in a football game. I mean, we were all excited. You know, obviously he was too. So I just think all the things that lead into it, you can see all the work paid off. He was clearly prepared. I think, the way he saw the game, the communication, you know, way he ran the huddle, you know, pre-snap penalties. I think we had the one. So that part was really good. And the other part of it really goes back to what I'm saying along. He just needs to play. I mean, there's some things footwork-wise he'll be better. You know, it's the first time not only for him this year, but also there's a number of guys he hadn't played with. So the most important thing, it was high-quality tape for us to build off of offensively and especially at the quarterback position.
Funny that Mike started that off with "let's be honest" and then we heard the rest.
Yeah, look, I mean the way that he was able
he played a football game, it was exciting. Yeah, it's exciting to play.
The way that he was able to score those let's see, 3 points off 4 turnovers, that was just phenomenal work.
I'm going to take it from McCarthy here for a second. Bobby, cover your ears. I'm so sick of the internet getting mad at that fourth down play call. Stupid play call. That's what the preseason is for. You want to see Trey Lance make a throw in. I don't care about seeing a dump down. That's why they went for it on every single fourth down. I don't care about a little screen pass. I want to see him make a big-time throw in the end zone on fourth down. And unfortunately, he threw it 4 yards out of bounds.
I see. I agree what you're saying. I wanted to see the play too. I also thought it would have been beneficial to give him 4 more downs and then see what he would have done there too.
What was the down and distance?
4th and inches.
Yeah,
it was a bad spot. So it was close. It was really inches. I mean, sneak it, give him 4 downs, see what, and then then try the play. Then you try the play on the next one.
This is,
either way, I wanted to see
him
make. Yeah, I wanted to see him make a throw, like, you know, a throw that was
big time throw
outside his comfort zone.
No, but I mean, yeah, Sean's right. This is the time to do it. You work out stuff like that. It's like when they're in fourth down and it was 4th and 3, and there's a video clip, I think it was Hellman shared it, from the local LA broadcast, where they had Sean McVay mic'd up, like talking to the booth for a segment. And when they were in that 4th and 3, they're in the shotgun and they motion the running back out, and McVay like got him perked up, and he goes, "Ooh, McCarthy's going empty. What's he doing here?" And he got interested, because that's the time to test that kind of stuff out and see about it. I think what that is that's an example, the way he talked about Trey Lance there, of why players like Mike McCarthy, though, because Mike McCarthy's not going to throw any player under the bus. Yeah. It's not what he does.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's on a fourth down, like in a regular season game, on a fourth down, that particular pass, I mean, like on a fourth down fade, that's reserved for like surgeons with the ball. You know, on a 4th and inches fade.
And
that's what you do for Tom Brady or
Calvin
Joe Burrow.
Johnson on the other side.
Right, yeah. You wouldn't do that with just a regular, even a fringe top 10 quarterback. Like, to me, just get the first down, even with them, because that's a surgeon-type throw.
Early morning shout-out to Jose, Cam, Gregory, Solo on the YouTube, Fan Cam, and Twitch. Micah Parsons says CeeDee Lamb is monitoring training camp. Lamb hit him up and said, "Oh, you're going crazy," after watching some of the highlights. And Micah said, "We're not worried. He's going to be back. CeeDee is a part of the brotherhood, whether he likes it or not. He knows he's not going nowhere. The business side, they're going to take care of him, but obviously we miss him. One of the best people you can have in a locker room, and I'm sure he will be here soon. There's no doubt about it. Week 1, he will be suited up for the Dallas Cowboys, as currently he has totaled up more than $1 million in fines with skipping everything."
You don't go full Tyler Smith. And Micah Parsons went full Tyler Smith yesterday. Tyler Smith got, in late July of last year, when Zach Martin was holding out, they asked, like, "So have you heard from Zach any?" He's like, "Yeah, he sent a note to the group text the other day. Said, you boys hold it down. I'll be there soon." And there was a lot of discussion at the time of, like, okay, so Tyler Smith has clearly just exposed Zach Martin doesn't plan on missing any games, that's not going to happen. And so does that change things? Now, ultimately, he got his deal done the way he needed to get it done. Cowboys lose the negotiation. He gets paid. He gets his fines covered, everything like that. But it does make you feel like, well, did Did Micah just slip up a little bit? Did he reveal that CeeDee has no intention of missing games? So if that's the threat, the Cowboys aren't buying it.
Micah said Lamb would need two or three practices to get back up to speed. Brian Schottenheimer is not worried. And he was citing the same offensive system. He said if it was different, there are challenges. But we have about 1,000 or 10,000 banked reps together. And we know that he's going to stay and be in shape.
Zeke signed September 4th. When he got his deal done, he ended his holdout on September 4th.
Oh, I thought you meant the second time.
No.
Yeah, and he was, working out diligently on that driving range in Cabo.
Yeah. September 4th, he signs. September 8th, he was playing. And he played full snaps in the opener. And that's something where I feel like your body's got to be even more conditioned to go out there and take those blows at the running back position than CD would. So, given their history, at least under Garrett's final year, they would allow CeeDee Lamb to play as late as arriving on Thursday, it sounds like.
The Rangers continue to stink it up, and something you need to know about your fantasy football draft with an exciting start for a rookie quarterback already sidelined. Rest of the NFL, Rangers stinking it up. Next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio. Yeah.
1-1. Swung on. That's hit deep to left. If it's fair, it's gone. It's fair, it's gone. A 3-run homer for Connor Wong, and that was totally crushed. The Red Sox lead 6-0 in the fifth.
A 6th straight series loss. A perfect game against them heading into the 6th inning. Bruce Bochy ejected, 3rd straight loss, and 6 in their last 7 games. The Texas Rangers stink. They're 10 games under 500. This is your home for Rangers baseball. It's a season worst 10 games below 500, but RJ Choppy is here to make it positive.
It's okay, man. Look at the calendar. What was yesterday's date?
Man, look at your S eating grin.
August 13th.
August 13th. I'm glad you said that, Bobby Belt.
Well, you asked me to.
Let's go back. Let us hearken back to August 13th, 1969.
Oh, gosh.
The Miracle Mets lost to the Houston Astros. Larry Durker. Complete game. They fell 10 back of the Cubs. On that day, the Rangers currently, Sean, are?
10.
Are they 10? I think it's like 9.5.
Well, 10. You mean in the division?
In the division. It's 10 games in the loss column.
Yeah.
So 9.5. They would go 38-11 the rest of the way.
Okay.
15-5. So 9-1 in the homestand. Rangers coming back home. 9-1 in the homestand. And then they went 6-4 on a road trip. Then they would go 23-6. And they went from 10 down, and they win the division by 8 freaking games. So in 49 games, they went from 10 back to 8 up. There's still a chance.
Oh, baby.
There's still a chance.
What made you look that up? Or
I heard it on MLB Network yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Oh, just, plagiarism.
It's not plagiarism. Nah. It was already out there.
The Astros won again. Seattle got smashed. So the armpit leads the American League West. Hope you got your bets in when people were trying to bury Houston and saying they're just not good. They're not going to be a player in this at all. The Astros are a game and a half up in the division. The Rangers are 9.5 games back. And that's all I have to say about that.
They did hit 2 doubles yesterday.
They did. That's
so
good.
Bassick will be happy during crosstalk today. By the way, to your point about the Mets, I just had to look this up. They were 11 games over 500 they started their run.
Right. They wound up winning 100 games. They were already at 62 wins. It's a different animal. They were a much better team. We don't have Tom Seaver.
We don't have Tug McGraw.
And we don't have Tom Seaver and Nolan Ryan in our starting rotation right now. That's completely fair.
Need Ron Swoboda.
About to get him, though. Jake DeGrom, baby.
All right. I'm done with all that. J.J. McCarthy, whose preseason debut lit up Minnesota, and Justin Jefferson loving it on the sideline. He is getting knee surgery. Sam Darnold now is the opening day starting quarterback at the New York Giants. So, man, at least we could have J.J. going to New York, drop the bearded, maybe dating Kay Adams, Daniel Jones, to 0-1. But now the status is in question after a tear in the meniscus of the right knee. So all the J.J. McCarthy excitement is zapped.
And I kind of want to laugh at this.
Don't.
Not at the injury. I kind of want to laugh at the idea of, ha, Sam Darnold is starting for the Vikings.
Oh, man.
But part of me thinks...
I'm making another chart of my preseason quarterback hype meter around the National Football League. It's happening in Denver with all of their guys.
Bo Nix.
And it's happening for Sam Darnold as well. Sam Darnold, my gosh, Sam Darnold is fantastic. The Jaden Daniels throw, the one Jaden Daniels throw that was put up there, all of a sudden they got Mark Rippon again.
If Sam Darnold turns himself into a halfway decent quarterback, then Kevin O'Connell is everything that the media says Sean Payton is.
Kevin O'Connell is pretty great.
I like him,
but I mean, to do that with Sam freaking Darnold would be,
well,
epic.
Here's,
although he was 3-0 with like Matt Rhule 1 year.
See, I was texting with somebody the other day, and they were like, they said, "Who do you think's the starting quarterback in 2025 here in Dallas?" And because we're just talking about Dak's contract and stuff like that. And no, I remember thinking to myself, I don't feel confident saying it's Dak, and so right now, like, it might be somebody like a Sam Darnold, like one of those weird bridge names that's a free agent every year. And so while I'm like, ha, Vikings, you're stuck with Sam Darnold, part of me goes, that could be your quarterback next year. Who knows?
Ooh.
Don't do that.
That's not, we don't need bridges.
We have Shador. We already talked about that yesterday in Crosstalk. How about Jerod Mayo with a very interesting...
Yes.
That was the word that both of you used in your email, and I thought the same exact thing as I heard Jerod Mayo's way to stop fights at Patriots training camp.
You don't fight in a real game. When you fight in a real game, you get fined, you get kicked out. It's the same thing here. And look, my message to the players, if you get in a fight out here,
if you're a starter, you're going to play the whole preseason game. If you're not a starter, you won't play at all. And so that's kind of my mindset with that.
If you're a starter and you fight at practice, you're playing the whole preseason game. If you're a backup, you're not playing at all. Piqued my curiosity for a second.
Yeah.
Then I sobered up.
Yeah.
Stupid.
This is one of those, well, you know what? This sounds good in theory. Like, yeah. If I were to put this on paper,
yeah,
that would sound like a halfway decent idea. But yeah. Then you put it into reality and it's like, oh, okay, let's not do that.
It does.
They're going to be horrible enough as it is.
But see, and that was the thing that I saw yesterday. There was a lot of pushback from Patriots fans.
Not with Joe Milton, baby.
There's a lot of pushback from Patriots fans who had said, you know, the replies were how reckless from Jerod Mayo to basically threaten a starter in terms of like threaten your team's stability by putting a starter out there who could potentially get hurt in the middle of a meaningless game. And I do kind of see the Jerod Mayo side of it, though, of just like, don't get in a fight. Like, I'm telling you, you don't just accept that, oh, you're basically forced to play. No, you put yourself in this position because I told you this is the consequence. And so if you end up with that consequence, that's on you. And so, to me, it's like, you're the cell. I think
Jerod Mayo. Yeah, but you can't have an empty punishment either. So, you're going to have to play someone a whole game if they get in a fight in practice as a starter.
Right, and that would, but I mean, also.
It's stupid.
The Patriots are going to finish last in their division anyway.
I don't think they're thinking that, like, right now, today. Like, we're going to suck anyway, so if we lose a starter, all good.
Jerod Mayo knows that. He knows they're terrible. And that's why I said just. You know, do it now. Is it an unfair?
So like, bad. Joe Milton's going to get the play.
It is an unbalanced punishment, though. When you think about it, like, I mean, the starter definitely would be put out by having to do that. The starter would be upset having to play the entire game.
Upset, but he's still got a contract. He's still getting paid. That other guy is like, this is my chance.
Yeah,
Brandon Ayuk to Pittsburgh now, in trying to keep up with this saga, and shutting down and rejecting trades everywhere else throughout the league. He doesn't want to go to Cleveland, doesn't want to go to New England, and maybe he wants to choose Justin Fields and Russell Wilson.
You know, you could have been up to date on this. You wouldn't have had to have followed all the drama because there's one man who's been consistent saying Pittsburgh all along. Pretty Ricky. Doing pretty big things, making pretty big change.
Yes, I still don't get it, though, man.
Well, Ricky got the Lamb deal right, didn't he? No, he didn't.
And it hasn't happened yet. He said it will. Look, he's got a whole he's got a post.
I said it will. It is going to happen.
It is going to happen. Sign. Yeah,
He's got a post pinned on his Twitter right now of judge me by my losses, and he lists all the things he's gotten wrong. Sean, that's accountability. All right.
I just don't get this. Like, you're going from you're a wide receiver who is at the mercy of your quarterback, and you are going from a really good situation for an offensive skill position player to one of the worst.
Is it just
Ayuk is on fire?
Is it just that the Steelers are willing to pay him more than the 26 or 29 million that everyone else has apparently offered?
I don't know.
Because it can't be quarterback.
Pittsburgh was one of the two places. Pittsburgh and Washington, that was initially one of the two places that he really kind of thought he wanted to go to. And I don't know if that's one of them, obviously, is Jaden Daniels, who's his buddy. But I think the Mike Tomlin situation plays in there because he respects Mike Tomlin. But I don't know how you could possibly, as a wide receiver, willingly go to a place that's got trash at quarterback.
Well, I mean, the report was he had rejected the Patriots deal, and they were willing to pay him $32 a year. And nobody else has sounded like they'd get even close to that. So it's not money. It must just be he really likes Tomlin. Yeah. Tomlin was the one who, didn't he finish first in that NFLPA poll of like players saying that's the place I'd want to play for Tomlin?
This is a very un-Steeler-like move, though. They grow receivers. They grow receivers, you know, probably better than anyone else in the National Football League.
And then a lot of times they'll let them walk.
Yes.
Yeah, like it is a very un-Steelers-like move. But, you know, I wonder, like, I don't know. Is there pressure on Mike? Is there pressure on Tomlin there to?
Last year there were rumblings that he was going to be out of there, that he's going to ask out of there. My initial response is to say no, there's never going to be that much pressure on him.
No, because, I mean,
it's not their MO.
No, it's not. I mean, they've had, like, three. There's been.
The pressure should be on the GM or whoever.
Who is their GM?
Good question.
There's been more presidential impeachments.
Of Rooney?
There's been more presidential impeachments over the last 50 years than there have been Steelers head coaches. They don't change them.
No. Like, they didn't fire Cowher.
No, it was they've not made a firing. It was Chuck Knoll from 69 all the way up till 90, then Cowher from 90 to 06, and then it's been Tomlin ever since.
Ugly, ugly story. Also in the AFC North, out of Cleveland, rookie defensive tackle Mike Hall Jr. was charged with domestic violence after allegedly threatening a woman with a gun on Monday night. According to the police reports, he grabbed a handgun during an argument, pressed it against a woman's temple, and threatened, quote, "I will effing end it all. I don't care." The woman told police she's engaged to him, shares an 11-month-old child. She said the altercation began when she and Hall were discussing the financial needs of her daughter from a different relationship. The woman said he screamed at her to leave the house, grabbed her by the feet, and dragged her on her back down the driveway. He rolled out before the authorities arrived. The woman's mother corroborated details in a written statement, saying she saw him strike her daughter on the head with a baby bottle, choke her by her neck, push her through a wall, and break open a bedroom door to drag her out. Authorities said several indicators of a physical altercation took place. They saw two handguns lying on a mattress as well. Uh-oh, Mike Hall Jr.
Well, that's...
You better hope there ain't no damn DFW security up in your house.
Oh, yeah.
Like that last NFL incident. It was a running back. I don't want to... Don't throw
Eagles,
out a name.
Eagles, right?
I don't know. What I do know is I'm very glad the Cleveland Browns took him two spots before the Cowboys had their pick in the second round this year then. Because that's... I mean, that was
a guy... Was there
a
book on him?
No, it's just it would have been one of those things where that very easily could have been a player that was in play for Dallas.
But what did you scout about him or no?
Mike, I hadn't heard anything like troubling like that about Mike Hall. He was somebody that was on our list. In fact,
Ohio State.
Yeah, every year I have different people that I talk to, and they'll show me these lists of, like, you'll see players listed in different colors on their chart, and it's for character or injury flags, and his name did not have a color code on it. And so that wasn't an indicator that this kind of thing could happen with him.
877-881-1053 is the way to hit us up on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line here on DFW Sports Station. The snipping has been scheduled.
Oh, no.
And so has Klay Thompson's return. And Bobby's not really happy about it. Next on Sean and RJ. Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club, our best audience of the entire show. Thanks for checking us out on YouTube, the Fan Cam, and Twitch. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. The NBA has successfully confused me as much as the NFL kickoff, as yesterday it was announced that Klay Thompson's return to the Bay Area is going to be held on the first night of the 24-25 Emeritus NBA Cup schedule.
Don't do that. Don't call it the NBA Cup. Don't give them that satisfaction.
Dude, in-season tournament? I was like, what? I was like, what's the NBA Cup?
Exactly. I guess they just tried. They could just sneak it in on us. It's like a girl just sneaking in my boyfriend this, my boyfriend that. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just talking to her. All of a sudden, bam, there it is.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
All right.
You know, fine. And the NBA trying to do the same thing with their IST, with the in-season tournament. So do the Lakers have to change their banner?
No, are you kidding me? They're like, LeBron gets to claim like the title only... that'll never be won again.
Yeah,
like it's true. What makes him the GOAT. It's why he's the greatest.
Yeah. So there it is, Klay at Golden State for these games that they don't or do count on the regular season schedule. That's how little I cared about it.
No, they count on the regular season schedule, right? Like they're still just playing 82 games.
They did, yeah. It's very similar to, like, I don't know. Like it feels easier to explain the kickoff rules right now than to explain like what exactly the IST or the NBA Cup, as that stupid little European Q-tip Adam Silver wants us to call it.
Whoa.
He is the worst, dude. And he's made it now to where I have to watch this thing.
November 12th.
I was going to get by. I was going to skate by.
Why'd Europeans catch some slander?
It's the NBA Cup. This is the way they want to do things, like in-season tournaments and crap like that.
It's like the UEFA.
I would love to avoid this because I don't want him. He wants to make this happen so bad, and I'd watch YouTube.
Look, I'm all for spicing it up. If you want to make the winner like get locked into the playoffs somehow, I mean, I don't want to reward you that much, but I mean, some type of real you know, result.
Right.
Real consequence.
It can't be monetary. Jason Tatum's going to make, what, $70 million in this final year? Like, what's $500,000 to him going to do? Right? So I don't think it'd be monetary, but look, so they got like, let's see, they got six group stages. So you play everybody in your group, just like pool play, just like in a youth baseball tournament or in the World Cup or in the Olympics. They got that.
Sorry, Bob, what were you saying?
I don't appreciate my viewing being held hostage. Because I would avoid these games. I'd watch the YouTube cut up. I'd watch the 5-minute thing. I'd come in here. I'd pretend the next morning like I actually watched the game, but I actually didn't, because I'm making a subtle protest to Adam Silver that I'm not going to watch your stupid NBA Cup, and I'm not going to call it that either. But I'm not going to take part in this, and now I have to, because you're giving me the game on the Mavericks schedule next year, arguably the return to Golden State for Klay Thompson. I'm going to have to sit there and actually watch it now.
And what is this? Am I getting this right with Emeritus? Like Emirates? E-M-I-R-A-T-E-S.
Emirates. It's the airline.
Oh, so Emirates. It's sponsored.
Yeah, it's sponsored. Emirates.
Emirates. Not Emeritus. Yeah, like, Emirates. Let's earn
like
something.
UAE. United Arab Emirates.
Emirates,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The Emirates.
I've heard Emirates Airlines is fantastic. I've heard it's great.
The Emirates NBA Cup schedule. Klay Thompson back to California. And Shams had a little Klay Thompson tidbit a couple weeks ago.
By the end of the season, I was told he was out, and I reported a few days before free agency. He's not coming back. The decision was already made. It was just going to be about where he was going to end up. And now he goes to Dallas, and he will be the guaranteed starter there, and he's going to be guaranteed, you know, whatever it's 28, 30 plus minutes a night. And I think that was very important for Klay, playing the minutes that he wants to play. And I'm told a lot of this was about principle and feeling slighted in Golden State.
So, a little Golden State nugget from Shams. Guaranteed starting spot and some guaranteed minutes.
Yeah, which, I mean, I know there was the discussion of, well, is he going to come off the bench? What's he going to do? It's like, yeah, I don't think you're paying him what you're paying him, or also he's coming here unless he's getting that opportunity. And I don't think I'd want anybody starting over him anyway.
We have one more comment on the end of the NBA season from Gilbert Arenas.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so Gilbert Arenas has gotten in some, I wouldn't say hot water, but people are definitely taking notice, like, throttle back, dude. Chill a little bit. So a couple weeks ago, he was on with Vlad TV. And
big fan of Vlad TV.
He just crushed the Celtics for their NBA Finals. He said it was a trash finals. He said they were chuckers. They were just three-point chuckers. If they played any sort of quality basketball, they would have swept the Mavericks and won every game by 30 points. And he got a lot of heat for those comments. Well, he teed off again yesterday. This was on the OG's pod.
Big fan of that?
Obviously.
OG Mayo.
And he went off again on the Celtics. And specifically, this gave me a little bit of a high yesterday, Jason Tatum.
They were the better team, hands down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did they play championship basketball? No. They had an advantage. You're talking about they were bigger than Dallas. Dallas didn't play the defense that could have stopped them. And they spent 90% of the time just chucking threes. Mm-hmm. Horrible threes, too. Like Tatum's my dude. Mm-hmm. And he was frustrating the shit out of me. Kimber, was it?
Max Kleber?
Max Kleber. Yeah. You taking sidestep jumpers against him? Oh, my God. That's what? That is a 1-4 flat if I seen one. Like, you got one dude, you get him to take a side, like, if you're going to take the side jumper, do it on a smaller guy. Don't get the big dude on you to shoot the same three. He can challenge his shot. It was just little things that in the basketball world, it just didn't make sense.
And now it makes sense why Jason Tatum was benched, too, because you're going to face a lot of Maxi Klebas in the Olympic Games, and he doesn't know how to approach them, apparently.
For Gilbert Arenas.
To talk about chucking.
To talk about chucking. It's like me criticizing someone over a temper. As I saw you sneak that into your little email last night, which we will address coming up.
It's also, I mean, this is a, and it's always, this is not new. This has been a problem since the dawn of time. But I am just so tired of, like, athletes, like, just complaining about how the game is played today. It's the way it is, dude. The games evolve. All you baseball people are like, oh, until we're a batting average anymore. Like, that's just the way it is. Guys, the front offices care about strikeouts and exit velocity. Deal with it. That's the way. It's not going back. And we're not going back to non-chucking three-pointers. We're not going back to mid-range jumpers. So just stop. I'm sick of it. It's just so annoying, these old people. And I get it. Look, and we've all done this, but it's just like, It's tiresome. They're not changing. They're not going to go back to a run-first football team. They're not going to go back to bunting and hitting for average and singles. And they're not going to go back to mid-range jumpers. It's going to be chucking, and it's going to be home runs.
One final NBA note. I have to comment on this because it happened while I was out. I absolutely hate that Charles Barkley is staying with TNT even after they lose the NBA next season.
Is the court case done? If they decide not to go to court and try to win this thing back?
I have no idea. But Charles is going to stick around and talk college football that they've now acquired and golf and whatever other crap.
Hockey, baseball.
This is awful. Doodle. This is terrible. This is awful. And I'm so mad that Charles Barkley is staying for that. That contract number, by the way, did not get talked about enough. Would you guys have guessed he was making 21 a year? No. 21 a year for 10 years.
I don't know how they would justify that. Like I would be surprised that show brings in $21 million of advertising a year. It's 30 minutes.
Ernie can't get his segment sponsored. Yeah. I know that.
It's
21 a year.
Yeah.
I don't care about Charles Barkley commenting on golf. Fine. Throw him up there while he has a drink in his hand during the NHL playoffs.
Yep. That was fun.
Whatever. It's 2 minutes. It's 3 minutes. This is terrible. This is a loss for all of us.
Yeah.
Unleash him and let him talk about the NBA full time after the season, but he's staying at Turner to do the other crap.
Let him do Turner better be like establishing some sort of NBA like podcast platform then.
They might.
To let him talk unfiltered for an hour every day or something. Because that's honestly what if Charles was consistently out there every day, like doing hour long podcasts, just talking about basketball and ranting unfiltered, I'd listen to that every morning. I'd have that on driving in the morning.
So like, you know how like
even over Maggie Gray?
Oh, definitely over Maggie
Gray. Let's just say a streaming only inside the NBA on video. Video streaming only. Would they be able to run the highlights because it's not over the air TV? And maybe they can without the rights. Maybe they can. So maybe that's what they do. Maybe they just do a streaming only. You'd still watch it. You'd still find a way to get on your TV.
Yeah.
And it would be a way for him to stay. It doesn't matter what channel it's on, because how many times do you watch that show without watching the game that corresponds with it?
A ton. Thanks to all the Tolos. Thanks to Chiquilin down the hall. But the most thanks to Eric Chiafalo, who gave me the contact, gave me the phone number. And yesterday I made the call as I was leaving the building to schedule the vasectomy. It's happening. It's going down. End of August. Holiday weekend. And the wife had been pressuring me. I didn't appreciate all the pressure, but she's like, I've undergone a couple of the surgeries. Now it's your turn. Thanks to Baylor for screwing me over. You were supposed to zap her on the inside when this girl came out.
Boy.
And y'all screwed that up, butchered it. So now I have to go. And Eric says, dude, it's 30 minutes. Pop, pop, bam. Literally. Snip, snap.
It's a major surgery. I don't know why he's saying no.
Major word. Surgery?
There is a knife on your wiener. That is a major surgery.
Chiafalo's wife watched his. I told my wife, you can sit in the waiting room and drive me home because I will be taking whatever medications or anything. I'm like, are y'all going to knock me out? They're like, no, you don't need that. You just need to numb it. About 30 minutes on August 30th, the vasectomy. Oh,
the difference is in the way we run our household, Sean. I'm sitting here yesterday dictating to my wife who she's allowed to have in my vehicle.
Yeah.
And you're sitting here just letting it be dictated what happens to your manhood. I'm disappointed. I thought we had done better.
Is Kristen just on birth control?
Yeah. But I mean, that. Don't worry. I've been like slipping things into her drinks to disrupt the birth control.
Jeez.
So I'm gonna get kid number four, baby.
I thought you did not want the kid.
No, we don't. Her whole thing with all her back issues and everything else. I don't like. I've gotten to the point where it's like, yeah, I probably don't want her carrying a kid for 9 months.
Okay, but let's keep it. Wait, okay. I'm trying to keep it straight. Who changed their mind recently about having one or not wanting one?
I changed to
not.
Yeah, I don't want to have one. And then she didn't full on go the other direction, but she became more open to it.
Why?
I don't know. Like, I think she just got a little reflective with Jacob moving out and then probably being around Ava.
Yeah.
That too.
And my kid who needs a haircut, according to Corey Majors.
Yeah, saw that. Yeah.
So there it is.
Nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not like, shut up, Arthur.
You need to talk to Chris Arnold about it. I've got that photo of Chris describing the vasectomy to Eric in the press box at AT&T Stadium and him literally like doing this, like doing hand gestures to show him how they cut it and everything.
Do you have an Audi? Like a belly button Audi?
I'm car shopping now. And then she goes, hey, Ollie's got a birthday on August 31st. And I was like, I don't know if I'll be able to make that. And she's like, why? I said, I just told you I'm getting a vasectomy on August 30th. Now I'm not doing the whole, they told me 7-day recovery. Eric has already told me, no, maybe 24 hours. And I was like, the next day, maybe. I'll be chilling and rested. She's like, you'll be fine. And I was like, don't give me an attitude after you make me snip my balls off and tie them up. And now you want to give me an attitude because I don't want to go to a four-year-old party. I might not be feeling, you know, fantastic to go pick him up in the ball pit. I have a ball pit.
Yeah. Keep your Sean spayed and neutered. That's what Bob Barker said, right?
There it is.
Something like that.
So thanks to Chiafalo for the hookup. Although I don't know how much I should be trusted at Chiafalo, probably with the cheapest route possible.
Yeah, you are definitely going to the lowest bidder here.
Some of the woods, all natural.
877-881-1053. And thanks to all the tollers for that advice as well. We have another college football kegger. Are they bringing out the guns in Colorado? And do we have a crisis in the Texas backfield? Choppy and Bobby with some college football next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.